Well, good afternoon to everyone. And keeping in the theme with this year's conference, I'm going to talk about big data management, but at the scale of a small size field, and in the context of controlling site-specific variable rate irrigation system using multiple data streams. So I just want to recognize co-authors on this presentation before I get started, Alejandro Andrade, Paul Glazy, and Dr. Steve Evett. And so some of the definitions I'll use, I'll just go to the bottom three. Data dropout is simply uncaptured data. API format, I'll talk about some of the data structure. It stands for Application Program Interface. And then prescription maps, and that's actually a coded file that we use to instruct the variable rate irrigation system on where to irrigate and when to irrigate and how much to irrigate. So if we look at this slide here, in the center we have the variable rate irrigation sprinkler system. It's a six-span center pivot system, and we can control the watering rate along the pivot lateral and in the direction of pivot movement. For our data streams, we're collecting geospatial data from a GPS unit at the end tower. We're also collecting soil water data. We recently integrated soil water sensing data. We're using the TDR-315s from Acclima. We've been using wireless infrared thermometers to measure canopy temperature. We have a wireless network along the pivot lateral. We also have a second network of infrared thermometers that are stationary in the field. And then finally, we're collecting environmental data from a standalone weather station that's near the center pivot point. So the objectives of this system, of the ESCADIS system, is to collect the environmental data, the plant and soil water sensing data across a crop field, and to manage the system over the course of the irrigation season. And so we're taking in temporal and spatial data, and we're building dynamic prescription maps. So I want to break down the data management that we use into levels of data management at the sensor level, management at the system level, and again, we're providing for real-time and strategic decision-making so that the output would be irrigation and crop water management, but also post-harvest analysis. And so this slide here gives you an example of a data at the sensor level. And so this across here is an entire packet of data. It's about 44 bytes. But what's important is that we package this data in the same format from all like sensors. Some of the critical points are that you use a start delimiter that's the same, and so that whatever is hosting is capturing the data, it knows when it's receiving a complete packet of data. Also, the final byte of data, or the checksum, helps to reduce error analysis. And so we built these infrared thermometers at Bushland, and they're now commercialized. But again, it's very important when you're doing your own sensors to have this type of standardization. Okay. And we're using the hexadecimal format. It's just a very compact way of representing alphanumeric and symbolic information. So what are issues of data management at the sensor level? Well, there could be uncertainty in quality, noise, or you could have data dropout. And so the methods to mitigate some errors are to calibrate your sensors, and Tyson talked about that. Depending on the number of sensors that you're using and what you're using the sensors for, you might want to do some cross-calibration. We use frequent data sampling, sample every 6 seconds, and then we average the data. And that helps to reduce the noise. For missing data, if it's continuous data, you can average the data piece that's received before and after the missing data. And for spatial data, you would do interpolation. So looking at data management at the base station level, And again, this is at the computer that is located at the center pivot system. And this is a tree structure of how we manage our data. And so we have two of these SCADA systems on our laboratory. And so at each embedded computer, you would find under the irrigation year, you would find separate folders for collecting data from the different data streams. Now, this is just one way to do it. So for the IRTs, the infrared thermometers, on the pivot, we would capture them in one location. Actually, under that folder, we capture the information on a day of year basis. And we do this because our data analysis is done on the 24-hour time step. And for each of the different types of data that we're collecting, you can see some of the specific types of data. Time is consistently collected for each of these types of data. When doing this, what we have is a storage of raw data at the CPU, and we use the interface development environment to actually apply our calibration equations. Okay, you can do that at a sensor level, but we choose to do it at a higher level. Okay, for our IDE, we use Visual Studio, and under that we use two different programs. We use C Sharp to do the graphics. It's very good with object-oriented structures. And then to do the actual mathematical calculations, we're using Visual Basic. What's also important when you're managing data in the field, especially real-time or near real-time, you have to have access to that system. And so we access the central processing unit through a wireless network. Within that central processing unit, we also have table structures in addition to the comma-delimited files for each sensor. And in this way, we're able to sort on the key fields. It makes querying and analytics quite fast. Again, some of the key fields that we use are time and location because of what we're doing. With the CPU, it manages data as well, sending us text messages, or that's what's done with farmers as well, and it's also giving us information through prescription maps. So I just wanted to touch on data management at the algorithm level. And so we do run a number of different algorithms. One is the temperature scaling algorithm that was published by Peters and Evett in the Agronomy Journal 2004. And what I wanted to talk about specifically is taking advantage of weighted averages. So if you're dealing with plots on a center pivot field, the length of your plots is going to vary depending on the distance of the plot from the center pivot, from the radius of the center pivot. And so doing weighted averages may be useful to you. Also, if you're calculating a thermal stress index, as we are for scheduling irrigations, it's helpful to use boundaries rather than absolute values. Because if you have a measurement or a calculation that results in a very high value, you can skew that information. You can skew your averages. Likewise, if you're converting data by comparing measurements with thresholds, you might want to change to binary values, again, to prevent skewing data and to make sure that you have robust decision making. And then normalization is another way to improve data integrity and increase your storage efficiency. I want to talk now about graphical user interfaces and how we use them for QA/QC with some of this near real-time data, and also how we use it for interactive data management. And so with this example here, we have a graphical user interface that shows sensor ID, and then the object or target temperature, and then we have a rectangular symbol that's color-coded. So green would mean something that's fairly acceptable, blue is a cool temperature, and red is the very warm temperature. And then we have battery voltage, and then again a color scheme to indicate a voltage that is off, that is low. And this would help a researcher, usually has multiple fields, a lot of things going on, or a farmer, to indicate to the technician, you know, which sensors need to be brought in or which battery packs need to be changed. But again, it all relates back to data management, all relates back to getting good data and preventing data dropout if you have a low battery power. And finally, with this graphical user interface, this is what our postdoc Alejandro Andrade is working on, and this is a user interface that uses a GIS framework. And so you can actually look at layers of data. This is our three-span center pivot. We divided it into 72 plots this past season. And in the south, we were irrigating as a farmer would. And in the north, we were doing different irrigation treatment levels. But we are also using two methods, one using an integrated crop water stress index for automatic scheduling, and then also doing manual scheduling and looking at yield differences between these two. But the beauty of this system is that either a researcher or a farmer could click on a specific plot, and then a table of attributes would be shown. And for a researcher, it quite possibly would show you, you know, what treatments are you applying? What was the last stress threshold for that plot? What's the cumulative irrigation amount? And for a farmer, perhaps you could use that to change your irrigation amount, or rather easily save it and then upload it to the control panel. So in summary, when we're using a SCADA system, we're using multiple data streams. There's different techniques you can use for data management. Key considerations are at the sensor level to improve the quality and reliability, but also at the system level so that you can manage and control the data. And one thing I didn't really touch on was archiving for future analyses. So with that graphical user interface, you could pull up previous prescription maps that could give you data throughout the irrigation season. And with that, I just want to acknowledge the Ogallala Aquifer Program. It's funded by USDA ARS. And thank you very much.
We do have a few minutes for questions. Do we have any questions?
So on your visual interface, are you using a GIS paradigm or are you using actually a GIS product?
No, a GIS paradigm. So it's built from scratch.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a 6-second measurement interval.
At the sensor level.
Right.
At the sensor level, right.
So why 6 seconds? Certainly when you talk about big data, a 6-second interval produces big
lots
data,
of data,
right?
But
and your decision interval on your pivot would be what?
Okay, so but the 6 seconds are averaged, so the data packets sent are 1-minute averages.
Okay.
So you might ask me, well, why 1 minute rather than 5 minutes?
Yeah.
So I have just found that it's, for the purpose of what we're doing, it seems to just give us a better index. It creates a lot of data, certainly. And especially since you saw we're saving raw data in addition to, calibrated data. But we have these multiple data sets that we can go back to. It could be that we could use 5-minute averages. I think, I know Troy Peters used 5-minute averages before I came, but we haven't gone to a wider interval. But the reason I'm using that, another reason is we're measuring canopy temperature data as a pivot moves across the field. And so it could be, at times it could be when it's at a speed of 100%, but other times it's when we're irrigating, so.
So do you degrade that data though as you go ahead? So you got your 1-minute average, but then do you do most of your analysis with 1-minute average data, or do you even degrade that further?
Yeah, I do most of it with the 1 minute data.
Thank you.